Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, our teacher. We give ourselves to you. Lead us and guide us. Unveil the word of God. Help us to see light in your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today we are going for another different theme in our study. It's about curses. God has put it in His Word for us to know these things. He knew that we need these things very much, and so we need to go through His Word, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will receive the instruction and the revelation from Him. We all know that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the law, and He was made a curse for us. And He was hanged on a tree. The Bible says He was hanged on a tree, is curse of God. In that scripture, three times we read the word curse. Now, brothers and sisters, this is so much important. When Christians must be enjoying the blessings of God, but unfortunately they are enduring curses. Many. This is another topic, another theme, which usually is not taught in many churches. And many do not want to believe, just like they don't want to believe in the existence of demons. Precious, innocent Christians. And some, of course, servants of God too, they say that all those things have gone away with the apostles. You know, the word curse occurs about 200 times in the Bible. It is one of the major themes of the Bible. Thank God the word blessing occurs more than that. You know, I was teaching the word of God for a long time in our church in Sri Lanka. But most of the time I was so much discouraged, and to see that there was hardly any response. People came to church and they looked at me, they were attentive, but then there was no change in their lives. They were faithful, they tried their best in everything, in prayer, fasting, but still there was hardly any excitement for the word of God, excitement about the kingdom of God. There was nothing. So I was so much depressed, and I was asking the Lord, and it was that time, probably somewhere in 1986 or 87, the Lord put in my hands some teachings of these hidden barriers called curses, which are real, like the blessings. And after teaching them, and while breaking those curses, it was not a small, thing that we experienced. It was dramatic. In fact, there was hardly anybody who was not affected by the power of God when we broke the curse in Jesus' name. You know, blessings and curses are parallel. You find hot, cold, light, darkness. You see? And there are blessings and there are curses. is always parallel. Go with me to, let's, you know, go through the scriptures so that let the word of God speak to us. Proverbs 11:9. I want to show you some of those, the depth of words, the power of words. 11:9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through the knowledge the righteous will be delivered. See, words destroys people. You know, a city can be blessed or cursed. 11th verse. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. It undergoes destruction because of the cursing words. 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Words penetrate the soul, even the spirit. But the physical sword will only penetrate the body. Words will go inside. 15:4, Proverbs. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness breaks the spirit. Of course, this one everyone knows, I believe, 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, and of course, James in chapter 3, or you all know in 5 and 6, he has said that, you know, the tongue is a fire. It can be ignited by the fire of hell or the fire of heaven. No wonder on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and caught the tongue. Please. Now, one of the main features of the blessings and curses is that once they are pronounced, they continue from generation to generation. Many times we experience in our lives for which the root cause may go back to hundreds of years back. If any one of you here, you have been so faithful and you want to serve the Lord and you cannot make it and you tried so hard and nothing seems to work right, maybe in your individual life, your business, or your married life, whatever, you must hear this message. Let the word speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You know, the main channel for blessings or curses to touch people or to effect upon people are words. But words are not necessarily the main channels, need not be, but there are other things also. Curses operate. In Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10 to 12. Leviticus 8. Here we see the anointing oil. Chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. Also Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them, to set apart, to make it holy. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him, to consecrate him, to set apart. See, so accordance with the will of God, with the commandment of God, Moses had to do this for Aaron and also for the altar and other things, anointing, sprinkled with the oil, which brought holiness, because God said it at that time. And 1 Samuel 16:13, when Samuel poured the oil upon David, the oil became the vehicle through which the blessing of the Holy Spirit was released in the life of David. Okay. Now, in the New Testament, the emblems used in the Lord's Supper likewise become the vehicles of God's blessings. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul speaks of the cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Can you see that? It is actually not precisely not the emblems itself, but it's because we participate in accordance with the will of God in faith, they become the blessings. Did you get that? So it becomes a cup of blessing. But it can also be bring judgment. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30. For he who eats and drinks in unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So the cup of blessing, if taken in an unworthy manner, can become, can bring curses, in other words, sickness, and some have died in the Corinthian church. So these emblems, ordered by God in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, can bring forth blessing or it can bring forth curse. Now, God blessed Abraham, and very especially when he was asked to offer up Isaac, and there were many blessings pronounced over there because he did not keep his only son. This blessing that was given to Abraham, which was given about 4,000 years ago, is still at work in human history today. Now, a father can bless his children. Isaac was blessing his son Jacob. You know, the blessing of the father becomes a second to God's blessing. Pastor's blessing will come after the father of a child. It's so powerful. The Old Testament saints knew about the secret of blessing their children. Present day Christians, the churches, they are not aware the power of words. Because you know the story, once Isaac pronounced his blessing upon Jacob without knowing that it was Jacob. He thought it was Esau. Jacob deceived under the manipulation of his mother Rebekah. And Isaac could not revoke and take back that blessing from Jacob. He could not. Once it was spoken, it's done. Can you see the power of the words? And in how many churches we hear teaching that the fathers should bless their children? See? Now, when Abraham, while talking to God, he opened his mouth and said, Lord, what about Ishmael? Bless him also. And the Lord did. And you can see the blessing now in the Middle East. Almost the whole world, they depend for the oil and gas and whatever. Now, curses, this is the reverse of blessing. Pronounced by a supernatural power, maybe the power of God or the power of Satan. It settles a person's destiny, and it usually goes on for generation to generation until it is cut off until it is stopped. Proverbs 26:2. Proverbs 26:2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. What does it say? If there is a curse, there has to be a cause. So if a curse is found out, operating in our individual lives, in our lives or in our family, we need to ask the Lord, what is the cause? Where is the root problem, Lord? Did it start in my family or back in my father's family? These are real. If this was not important, there was no necessity for God to put it down in His word. So there has to be a cause. Now, I want to give you some examples, the sources of curses. Who is the source? Who can be the source? Number one, God Himself. God Himself. God not only blesses, but He also pronounces curses. Curse is one of the main means of God's judgment upon people. Genesis 12:3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. This was spoken to Abraham by God Himself. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. This was a protection for Abraham. Because God knew, since He has chosen this man, the father of the Jewish nation, that they will encounter attacks of Satan because of His great plan of redemption, of blessing the families of the earth. And God fenced him by saying this: anybody curses you shall be cursed. So we need to be very careful in opening our mouth against the Jews. It still works today. But unfortunately, many Christians do not know, and many churches do not know. There have been so much of attack against the Jews by many churches in the previous centuries. I do not know about now, but anybody can do it ignorantly, but they just for your information. So God gave them a special protection. As we are going to go through some lists of curses that could come upon people through God's word, because God said it. Now, as we go through this list, please, brothers and sisters, examine the main actions which cause the curses. Why this curse is pronounced? For what? Because this has not been changed. It's still there. It is still there. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Please take 27. Verses 14 and 15. You see, many people, they just take for granted, oh well, that I'm saved now, I'm baptized, and I'm baptized in the Spirit, I speak in tongues, and I come to church, and I pay my tithes. That's about all. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 14 and 15. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman,
and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. When you say Amen, it's sealed. So be it. That's it. Now this word is settled in heaven now. Turning away from the Lord and going into idolatry. Now this is the first and the primary cause for all curses. In fact, every curse can be traced back to some relationship with false gods. Occult involvement. Are you all listening? Yes? Everything can be traced, you see, to that. Now, Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now many of us, even though we are grown up, we have parents. And God has said, if you don't treat your parents right and honor them, you will come under the curse. Now, some of us can say, well, I was mistreated. I was, you know, that, this, everything was. We can argue with God, but He is not changing His requirement. Unfortunately, the present day generation, most of the teenagers, they come under this curse. Hardly they know. So they find so difficult to control themselves. Because God has said, and He will never change it, honor your father and your mother. See? God will not change that. Verse 17. Cursed is the one who removes his neighbor's landmark. Still stands today. I don't know, every time people read this in most of the churches, they laugh. Especially this verse 17. And people think that who can do that? Many do that. And they get into the curse of God. They can hire the best of lawyers and fight their case out, but then the curse will hang upon them, it'll catch their children and it'll follow them. Actually, the root sin is mistreating the neighbor. Because the Lord said, love the Lord thy God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength. And love your neighbor. So if you do that, how can you meddle with his landmark? No, thank you. Right. 27:18-19. Verse 18. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger and the fatherless and widow. This is injustice to the helpless. Doing injustice to those who are helpless. Do you know the child that is not yet born in the mother's womb is a helpless thing? And we try to kill it. And nearly 5,000 babies are killed almost every day in the United States, according to the census. They put them under the curse of God. Because that child cannot fight, cannot argue, stop, what are you doing? Very, very dangerous. Injustice to the helpless. Abortion is murder. Verse 25 also says that cursed is the one who takes bribe to slay an innocent person. If the child that is inside the mother's womb is innocent, yes. And there are private doctors over there in many countries. They take money and then kill the child, you know. They charge a lot. Yeah. Verse 26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. Putting ourselves under the law again. Once the Lord has opened up the door for the grace. And we reject the power and the empowering presence, the help that comes through the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. We put ourselves back again in our own flesh, in our own strength, and coming under the law. You see? Who wants to be under the law? Because you can't keep all the law. If you keep it, you must keep everything. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5. Can you go over there, please? This is trusting in man. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, which is not inhabited. I want to say straight away from here, you people who are listening to this straight, and then who will go and again study, maybe through cassettes and even through books, God has permitted you to receive light and to be free from any of these things. But there are so many in churches, it has not been granted for them to hear these words. Are you there with me? Yeah, true. It has not been granted. So here he says, cursed, we put ourselves under the curse of God when we trust man. When we trust ourselves, our own heart, we come under the curse of God again. Why? We are human beings. Our heart will deceive us. That's why Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 says, trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all your ways. Do not trust your own heart. So here is the curse that is pronounced. Cursed is the man who trusts in a man. See? Majority of the professing Christian churches are under that curse. See? That's why the Galatian church, Paul asked, who has bewitched you that you have started to depend on your flesh? Now, Zechariah chapter 5. Go with me to Zechariah. Chapter 5. Verse 1 to 4. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, what do you see? I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to the side of the scroll. And every perjurer, that means a person who signs falsely under an oath. I will explain it to you. A perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones. My goodness, this curse not only affects the people inside the house, it affects the very building itself. It is going inside the concrete and into the stones. Why? How can anybody get into this curse? I'll tell you how. When people fiddle with income tax, this is not a joke, because there you see at the end, probably everywhere they will say, you got to sign all what I have declared and whatever this thing is true. And sign. And when we knowingly, willfully, when we hide things and then when we send wrong reports, we come under Zechariah chapter 5. And God says that will come inside your house. It will destroy you. It will destroy your business. It will even destroy your very building. Now, I didn't write that. It is true. And then they, without knowing, and then they ask the Lord, Lord, why? I pay my tithes.
Okay. Malachi chapter 1. Verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what it is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Sometimes some Christians, you know, they bring it and give it to the church, all of the rubbish things that they are not using. A broken typewriter that's not used, well, Pastor, why don't you take it? Four sons in the family, all three are doing well. They are almost entering the university. Fourth one is a real dumb fool. And they bring him to the church and say, Pastor, can't you take him and then for your ministry? Oh my. This very often happens, brothers. Yeah, yeah. Just tipping the Lord and expecting great things. And God says, I am a great king. And then what are you bringing to me? See? You make a vow to God that God will get you out of the problem. And then you say, Lord, I will give you $500. And then God gets you out of the problem. And then you don't pay that thing. And then you had it. Better if you have not said it. Now that it has come out of your mouth, you had better see to it that you pay. Otherwise, Malachi 1:14 will be your badge. Because we deceive the Lord. Or sometimes we can reduce the amount and then pray. Well, God understands, you know, even though I said 500, but he knew, you know, so I can give now 200. He understands. Oh, yeah. That's what the devil also said to Eve. He understands. Oh, he knows. Whenever anybody tells you or you hear anything inside your mind, God knows, watch out. Watch out. All right. Now we quickly go to, of course, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10 that you all know. We touch his tithes and his offerings and we put ourselves under the curse of God. Right? We touch his 1/10, as we heard the other day, he will take back the 90. When we touch his part. All right, that's a curse pronounced over there. You can make a note. Sometimes people give excuse and then they say, well, this time I have to pay so many bills and all that. And then again, that word comes, you know, God understands. Surely, you can't be a debtor. You got to pay the bills. But you can leisurely later on give the Lord. Very dangerous, my dear brothers and sisters. So, you know, we take God for granted and play games with him. Because Jesus is crucified and we have all the time heard and he's nice and merciful. Oh yes, he is. But he's a consuming fire also. All right. Now, firstly we saw the source, God. And through his word. All this time we have been seeing that. Now second one. Men representing God. The source, the curse of the source can come from men representing God. Joshua chapter 6 verse 26. Now Joshua opened his mouth and said these words about Jericho. Oh Lord, make these words real to us, oh Lord. And shed forth your light. Joshua 6:26. Then Joshua charged them at the time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. Now this was pronounced by Joshua at the time when they conquered Jericho, right? And he says, if anybody is going to build this Jericho, that person is going to lose his youngest son. What happened? After about 500 years later, how many? 500 years later, one man began to build. 1 Kings 16:34. 1 Kings 16:34. This man began to build Jericho. In his dale, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho, this man. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, his first son, and with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates. According to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Brothers and sisters, this man lost his son because of the word of the Lord. See? Because of the word of the Lord. Now, maybe that the sons were taken to the doctor, their dead bodies, and they examined and found nothing, and they knew not that they have put themselves under the curse. Words of Joshua. Now, 2 Samuel 3:28-29. Here, David is a man of God pronouncing a curse on Joab. Watch these things, how these words operate. That's what we must see. Jesus said, every idle work, that word that we speak, that we shall give an account on the day of judgment. 2 Samuel 3:28-29. Afterward, when David heard of it, now Joab was a man who nobody can approach him. He was a very shrewd schemer. He will have nobody to come his way. So, now watch this, what happened. After that, when David heard, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner. Joab murdered Abner, right? The son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, who leans on a staff or falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. What a curse is here. You know how Joab died. David was so quick to divert the curse because Joab was one of his army commanders, right? And when he murdered Abner, he knew that the curse was going to come into his kingdom. So immediately he spoke out and he said, this curse shall not come into my house. He changed it, canceled it, spoke positively. Can you see? He knew the power of words. And he said, this shall rest upon Joab and his house. My, my, my. But the present day generation, we just take for granted. It's just words anyway. I'm a child of God. Psalm 109. This is a prophetic curse by David through the power of the Holy Spirit on the traitor Judas. Psalm 109 verse 5. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Dangerous things. Somebody does good to us and then we return evil. Curse will not depart. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser
literally Satan, stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty. And let his prayer become sin. Look at the words. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. My goodness. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him. Let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. And you know, examining about Judas's life and how he ended, all these things came upon him. Can you see that? It's a prophetic curse. After receiving good from the Lord, Judas turned against him, returning evil for good. Proverbs 17:13. These things, brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very, very careful. Proverbs 17:13. Watch those words. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Returning evil for somebody who had done good to us, when we return evil, God says, there will be a curse that is not going to depart. Let anybody come and pray, it's going to be there until he removes it. Good to state here, one pastor went to the seminary and then he got off the track, and he never believed in the virgin birth of the Lord, never believed in the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. And then he became a pastor of a church, and then, you know, he started to teach the people. And then God, you know, everything was torn apart, everything came to a standstill, and then finally he has to leave that church and the house, the vicarage, the church gave. Another pastor came to that church and was occupying his house. And everything was going wrong. And this man was spirit-filled, and then he was doing everything right. And nothing worked out right for him. Everything was negative. He prayed, nothing happened. And then he approached a servant of God and he asked him, what is wrong? And then he prayed, and then said, the Lord showed him there is a curse already put by God in that house. And he told him the reason also by the word of knowledge. It is because he preached against. In the sense, he never believed in the virgin birth of the Lord. And he said, won't you come in and pray? And this man of God said, no. God is not permitting me to come. Because even if I come and pray, I don't think God is going to remove that curse. So what can I do? Get out of that house. These things are real. These things are real. Certain cases, God will ask the people, that person, get out. Are you listening? Yes. Now, Jesus becomes a source. Did he curse? Or some of you know it. Mark 11th chapter. Mark 11th chapter. Verse 13. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And disciples heard it. Now, anybody today, any pastor going in and talking to a tree will be considered a lunatic. Mental. But Jesus spoke to the tree. He spoke to the tree. And he said some words. And verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Actually, the original says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Right. Now, third one, persons with relational authority. Now, in the human society, some people have authority over the others. Whether we acknowledge it or not, that remains there, authority figures. Parents over their children, husbands over the wife and the children, teachers have authority over their pupils in school, a pastor has authority over the congregation. These are authority figures. Now they can pronounce a blessing or they can pronounce a curse, and that will be continued. Now let us see the word spoken by a husband, Genesis 30:1. Jacob, coming from the house of his uncle Laban with his lovely wife Rachel, got involved somehow by deceived by the idols Laban had, and she put her hands inside occult, stole some of his idols, gods, and brought it with her. Jacob did not know it. Chapter 31. Laban came chasing after Jacob, and he was so angry, and he was asking for his gods, those idols. Look what Laban is telling. 31:30. And now you have surely gone because you are greatly longed for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel has stolen them. He opened his mouth and pronounced the death sentence for his wife without himself knowing it. He said, that person should not live. Are you all here? And fair enough, and what happened? Chapter 35, verse 16. She had the labor pains of Rachel, and it says, verse 19, so Rachel died and was buried. As she was bringing forth the child, she died. Her soul departed. The words of the husband affected the wife. Now, another one I want to show here. You all know about Gideon, right? Gideon defeated the Midianites, rescued the people of Israel, God's people. Now Gideon had 70 sons, and he had another son through another concubine, and his name was Jotham, whatever. Now he also had another concubine who gave birth to a son named Abimelech. After Gideon died, in order to get the position of the leadership, now this man Abimelech murdered his 70 brothers, killed all the 70 brothers to get the position, just position. Now Gideon is dead and gone already. And one brother, this brother named Jotham, escaped, and he ran and stood over the mountain so that all could see. And he pronounced a curse on this chap Abimelech, who murdered 70 brothers, his 70 brothers. And also the men of Shechem, for they sided in the, they connived with him, they helped him to murder this, his brethren. Judges 9:19-21. Watch this. The power of words. Judges 9:19-21. If then you have acted in truth and in sincerity with Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and with his house this day, then rejoice, and Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. Now, Jotham speaking on top, from on top of the mountain, right? But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. Now he passed these cursing words. In fact, he said, the people of Shechem shall rise up against Abimelech, and Abimelech will rise up against them, and both will be destroyed. The fire will come from both sides. And those cursing words. And what happened? Chapter 19, verse 56. Chapter 19, verse, excuse me, 9, chapter 9 again, I believe, yes. Sorry, chapter 9, 56 and 57. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And all the evil men of Shechem, God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Gideon. Can you see the Holy Spirit is writing there the cursing words spoken by Jotham over Shechem, and Abimelech came upon them. Words powerful. They go to the place where it is sent. That's why God has written all these things. Not one sentence is without a cause. See? And you all know how Noah, after he got drunk, and then he woke up and then he cursed Canaan. And they remained under the curse of God, the father, authority figure. A pastor or the elders, they can pass or pronounce a curse upon the congregation or anyone, single person or a family. And this happens very often. They can say words like, if you leave this church, you will never succeed. God will never hear your prayer. Yeah. If you leave the church, you will never go to heaven. If you leave the church, you will, your body will not be, if you die, you will be buried in the church cemetery. This is very common in some denominations. So the people are caught up by fear and they remain there. They are frightened to go. Cursing words. See? Many people struggle with these cursing words, with confusion, depression, fear, failure, unsuccessful lives. Yes. The fourth one, self-imposed curses. We can pass curses upon ourselves by our own words. This is another thing. You remember how Israel said, oh, wish we have died in Egypt. Oh, wish it be. There were so many cemeteries over there. Wish we were dead, you know. We would have easily died there. Why we have to come and die here? So all the time they spoke about death, and God said, okay, I've had enough. It'll happen to them just as they spoke to me in my ears. All of them died. Self-imposed curses. Genesis 27, verses 11 to 13. Here we see Rebekah pronouncing a curse upon herself. Genesis 27, 11 to 13. She was one of the foremost manipulators you can find in the Bible. I'm not criticizing her, but then it's just the exposition, the Bible is declaring that way. She so manipulated. She dressed up Jacob, his son, and then, you know, wanted to get the blessing to him, and made everything upside down, deceived her husband. Genesis 27, verse 11. Watch this. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him. I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Jacob didn't like it, the advice of the mother. And he said, no, mom, I might get a curse if he finds out. But
Rachel did not give up. I'm sorry, Rebecca did not give up. And he said, no, my, see what she said now. Verse 12, 13. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. My goodness. Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and get them for me. So Jacob obeyed. What happened? Jacob had to run away. Esau was almost killed him. And Rebecca lost her son. She never saw Jacob until she died. Never saw him again. Self-imposed curses. I wish I could dead. I'm sick, you know. Your words, you know, always tickling me to death. You know, they'd say jokingly, I'm so tired and I feel I could die. You are really a pain, you know. You are a pain on my back. Some people start saying that and they wonder afterwards why they have the pain on their back. Words. Cursing words, self-imposed curses. Matthew 27, this is very, very vivid one. 24 to 26. Matthew 27. This self-imposed curse was pronounced by the Jewish people. Matthew 27, 24 to 26. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood. Was he innocent? Absolutely not. Just person, you see to it. And all the people answered and said, who? The Jews. What did they say? His blood be on us and on our children. My. Let the blood, they were referring to Jesus Christ, be upon us and be our children. Brothers and sisters, those words, after these 2,000 years, are still in action today. Yes. They wanted to release Barabbas to be released. They put themselves under Caesar. They said, don't you want Jesus Christ, Pilate asked, your king? And they said, no, we have one king, that even Caesar. So they put themselves under a heathen king, Caesar, and also they wanted Barabbas instead of Jesus Christ. Now things are not over yet. After many years, Adolf Hitler came into power in Germany. Now people wanted, he believed in the principles and all the things that Caesar believed. And when Hitler came to power, watch this. Adolf Hitler, when he came to power, he opened up the jails and brought out all the thieves and those prisoners, thieves, liars, took out all of them, in other words, took out all the Barabbases, and put them to rule over the Jewish people. It's in history. They said, we want Barabbas. God said, okay. And who can ignore the history will not, the great Holocaust. Millions of Jews were massacred, butchered to death. Why? They said before the Pilate, let his blood be upon us. They didn't stop there. And upon our children. That's it. What a tragedy. Quite dangerous. Why are we studying these things? To know the power of words and for us to be very careful. And we should know
how to protect ourselves. I'm going to, as we go the other side. Now we are just going through the scriptures to find out how they operate and who had been the source, right? That's what we are studying now. Later we will go on the other side. See,